This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والشمس وضحيها والقمر إذا تلاها والنهار إذا جليها والليل إذا يغشيها والسماء وما بنيها والأرض وما طحاها ونفس وما سويها فألهمها فجورها وتقويها قد أفلح من زكيها وقد خيب من دسيها كذب الثمود بطغويها إذ انبعث أشقيها فقال لهم رسول الله ناقة الله وسقيها فكذبوه فعقروها فدمدم عليهم ربهم بذنبهم فسويها ولا يخاف عقبيها.
الحمد لله رب العالمين وأصلي وأسلم على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين بعثه الله شاهدا ومبشرا ونذيرا وداعيا إلى الله بإذنه وسراجا منيرا. First and foremost, I just want to take a moment out to thank the organizers, the administration, the management, who invited me over to give this short speech in front of all of you honorable individuals. Wallahi, it's an absolute pleasure to see every single one of you guys sitting here. As I always mention, that these gatherings are non-judgmental gatherings. Every single individual is welcome. Every individual, no matter what stage in your life you are at, you are welcome at all of these gatherings, these lectures, these programs that we deliver, so that inshallah ta'ala you can start your journey to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The lectures that we deliver, the programs that we give, my brothers and my sisters, are not just for practicing people. I say this all the time. It doesn't matter if you are the biggest fornicator on the face of this earth. It doesn't matter if you are the biggest drug dealer. Wallahi al-azim, we had some brothers turning up at our events and they were high out of their heads. And I said to the organizers, let them in. A sister messaged me one time on Instagram saying that Friday night she was clubbing and then Saturday afternoon she was sitting in the program. We want everyone to attend lectures and Islamic programs. Everyone starts somewhere, my brothers and my sisters. So please, 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 don't let it ever be that the shaitan gets the better of you when it comes to, look, he's making me stutter, right? That the shaitan gets the better of you when it comes to kick-starting your journey to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My brothers and my sisters, inshallah ta'ala, I've got 27 minutes and I want to go through 5 points, 5 acts of worship that will be idhnillah, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's permission, keep every single one of us steadfast on his deen. The shaitan, my brothers and my sisters, is looking for every way possible to distance us from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. With every trick and every trap that he has up his sleeve, he's looking to lead us astray. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my brothers and my sisters, he wants us to come back to him, as he says, وَاللَّهُ يُرِيدُ أَن يَتُوبَ عَلَيْكُمْ وَيُرِيدُ الَّذِينَ يَتَّبِعُونَ الشَّهَوَاتِ أَن تَمِيلُوا مَيْلًا عَظِيمًا. Allah wants to forgive you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my brothers and my sisters, He wants you to come back to Him. It doesn't matter what stage you are at in your journey to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you've taken 1,000 steps away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my brothers and my sisters, just one step to come back to Allah jalla fi'ula. Remember that, my brothers and my sisters, it is a huge test that we are facing. Every single one of us here, living in this world, the more time goes past, as the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَا يَأْتِي زَمَانٌ إِلَّا الَّذِي بَعْدَهُ شَرٌ مِنْ. There doesn't come a time, except that a time that comes after, it is worse. Right? It's only going to become more and more difficult. We are all in this together, my brothers and my sisters. Right? Just as there are good deeds, my brothers and my sisters, that raises your iman, there are also acts that are beloved to the devil that will end up destroying your iman, my brothers and my sisters. I'll give you guys a very quick example, right? As we know, there are certain bad deeds that will cause your iman to come gradually down. However, there are some that will completely take your iman away. Right? If your iman was 99% charged, it could, because of these actions, come back down to what? 5% due to some of the major sins that we fall into. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, لا يزني الزاني حين يزني وهو مؤمن ولا يسرق السارق حين يسرق وهو مؤمن ولا يشرب الرجل حين يشرب وهو مؤمن. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling us about these three major sins, that when you do it, your iman is taken away from you. Not that we are saying that you've left the fold of Islam. No, he hasn't left the fold of Islam, but he ends up destroying his faith. He begins to feel all of a sudden extremely miserable, down and out. There are sins like that, my brothers and my sisters. And many of them are the major sins that ends up having a huge impact on our iman so quickly, my brothers and my sisters. So these are five things that I want every single one of you guys, inshallah ta'ala, to hold on to no matter what happens in your life, no matter what sin you fall into, no matter how much the devil, my brothers and my sisters, traps you with the tricks that he has up his sleeves. Promise me this, my brothers and my sisters. These five things, no matter what happens, we are going to hold on to it, inshallah ta'ala. Number one, as-salah, as-salah. My brothers and my sisters, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is on his deathbed, right? What would you be thinking of if you were on your deathbed, right? The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he tells his companions, the salah, the prayer, the prayer. No matter what is happening in your life, I don't care if you've become the biggest drug dealer here in London, my brothers and my sisters. It doesn't matter to me if you are now prostituting, whatever the sin it might be. Don't leave off the salah. The shaitan will make you feel as if you are being hypocritical. How can you pray when you've just done this major sin? How? My brothers and my sisters, the salah is there to better your situation. The salah is there to remove the filth and the evil from your life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ. The salah, it removes the filth and the evil from your life, right? It is as if it's like that wall that is stuck to the ground. You are pushing against it, right? Trying your utmost best to tear it down. The salah is like that, my brothers and my sisters, right? The sins push up against it, but it holds itself up. The prayer is holding you together, my brothers and my sisters. The moment you let go of that, expect everything else to crumble down to the ground, right? It is the sila. It is the connection between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The sila, the connection, my brothers and my sisters. And if you cut that connection, what do you expect after that, my brothers and my sisters? Are you expecting any good to happen inside of your life? My brothers and my sisters, likewise, when things get very, very difficult, what would the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam do? trials, tribulations, hardships. كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا حزب أمر فزع إلى الصلاة. He would go rushing to the prayer. Give it a try. Mark my words, my brothers and my sisters. Right? You lose a relative. Something goes wrong. You go bankrupt. Run into the prayer. And wallahi, I will guarantee you, it will end up having an impact on your day-to-day life. I'll tell you guys a story, my brothers and my sisters, of a brother who was running the drug dealing industry here in East London, right? Moving drugs from A to B, right? As he's moving the drugs, time of the salah kicks in, stops his car, takes out his prayer mat. Three of his non-Muslim friends became Muslim. You know what their reasoning was? This guy, he's running the drug dealing industry, he never gets caught. It's probably because of his prayer, let's become Muslims as well. Not that I'm trying to say, my brothers and my sisters, right? Go and do haram and then I'm going to pray. No, right? Today, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has saved this individual. You know what I put it down to? I put it down to the fact that he used to pray, my brothers and my sisters. Wallahi al-azim, it's only a matter of time. As Allah Azza wa Jalla told us, right? Inna salata tanha anil fahsha'i wal munkar. The salah removes the filth and the evil from your life. The second point, my brothers and my sisters, that I want every single one of you guys, inshallah ta'ala, to hold on to, and that is the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The masjid, keep a connection with the house of Allah jalla fi ula. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would say, إِذَا رَأَيْتُمْ مَنْ يَعْتَادُ الْمَسْجِدَ فَاشْهَدُوا لَهُ بِالْإِيمَانِ. If you see someone constantly going back and forth to the masjid, then bear witness that he has iman. What does it show us? It's from the things that increase your iman, my brothers and my sisters. Right? Even to our sisters, I know you don't have to pray your five daily prayers in the masjid. Right? But keep that connection. Even if it is the Friday Jum'ah that you attend in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep your spirits up, then do so. Programs, lectures that take place in the houses of Allah, my brothers and my sisters, right? Try your utmost best to keep that connection. People always ask me, where can I find good people? What's the answer, my brothers and my sisters? You're not going to find good people, right? In this Nottingham thing that's happening right now, right? They nearly made me late, traveling from the airport all the way here. I just literally arrived 3 hours ago, right? You're not going to find good people there. You're going to mainly find them in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? My brothers and my sisters, let me give you guys the ideal morning. The ideal morning. People always ask, when I wake up, I feel lazy. I'm not productive in my day. I'm going to give you guys the ideal day, inshallah ta'ala. You want your iman to go sky high? Then listen up. If you can wake up just a little bit before the Fajr prayer, and you pray your Qiyamul Layl, 2 rak'at, 4 rak'at, 6, 8, whatever you can. I'm not saying it's mandatory. However, I will say this, that if you're not waking up in the last third of the night, my brothers and my sisters, you are indeed missing out. You are indeed missing out, my brothers and my sisters. It is the best part of the night, or should I say maybe even the best part of your 24 hours in that day, right? And then you pray Fajr. Huh, you brothers, where should you be praying it? Trying your utmost best in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wallahi, that is the ideal morning. My brothers and my sisters, you've got the non-Muslims waking up at 5 a.m. in the morning, taking their dogs for a walk. Am I wrong to say that? They're taking their dog, their kalb, right? They're taking them for a walk. And we can't wake up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my brothers and my sisters. The 2 rak'at before Fajr, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, right? خَيْرُ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا وَمَا فِيهَا رَكَعَتَا الْفَجَرْ. Just the 2 sunnah before Fajr, it is better than everything in the dunya. Everything inside of the dunya is better than it. Then what about the Fajr prayer, right? What about the Fajr prayer? Look how we wake up when there is an interview. Normally when you don't even have a shower, you'll make sure you have 2 showers. The night before, and then likewise in the morning, suited and booted like a tomato that has just been taken out of the fridge. You look fresh, rehearsing that interview that you're about to enter into. The salah, my brothers and my sisters, it is an interview with Allah. It's an interaction, right? Wake up in Fajr in the morning. And then the final thing, my brothers and my sisters, that which happens after that is what? If you can read Quran all the way up until sunset. I never said that it is mandatory, but that is the ideal morning. See the kind of impact that it has on your heart, my brothers and my sisters. Right? Number three. My brothers and my sisters, a tawbah. Returning back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? How many times did the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to repent in a gathering? Some narrations state 100, other narrations they state 70. This is the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, guys, don't be stingy. As the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, right? 70, sometimes 100. This is the Prophet of Allah sallallahu rabbi wa salamu alayhi. If that's him who didn't have any past or future sins, إِنَّا فَتَحْنَا لَكَ فَتْحًا مُبِينًا لِيَغْفِرَ لَكَ اللَّهُ مَا تَقَدَّمْ مِنْ ذَنْبِكَ. Where do me and you stand? In this sexualized society, right? Where just about every direction you look into, there is filth and evil. Right? It is hard. I understand the struggle, my brothers and my sisters, when it comes to lowering your gaze. It's not easy. And I'm not going to stand here and talk as if it's easy. Right? But what do we do after falling into haram, whether it might be on Fitnagram or Facebook or filth chat, right? What do we do after that when our eyes fall onto some of these haram things? Or when we're walking outside, especially in the summers, brothers are always messaging me in the summer, brother, I'm struggling, I can't do this. Summertime, it's hot, and they're coming out as if they couldn't find their clothes at home, right? What can I do? My brothers and my sisters, after every sin, we need to return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just saying astaghfirullah, it has so many benefits. So many. It increases your provision. It gives you strength. This is not the lecture for that. Astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. Keeping your tongue moist, my brothers and my sisters. Even if you fall back into that addiction 1,000 times. That's what Imam An-Nawawi said. Al-Imam An-Nawawi rahmatullahi alayh, the great scholar, he said, even if it is 1,000 times, I mentioned this at the beginning, I'll say it again. You take 1,000 steps away from Allah, just 1 step to come back to Allah Azza wa Jal. How many messages do I receive on my Fitnagram, right, of brothers and sisters always saying, I've gone too deep. There's no way out for me. I'm doomed. No, you're not. Right? The door of repentance is open. It doesn't matter what sin you've fallen into. That man who killed 99 and then he ended up killing 100. Was the door of repentance closed for that individual? No, he wasn't. He said to him, انطلق إلى أرض كذا وكذا فإن بها أناسا يعبدون الله عز وجل فاعبد الله معهم. Right? It's only a matter of time. You're going to probably ask me, but I've got this addiction. I fall into it, and then I come off, and then again, and I come off. Brothers and sisters, even if it is 1,000 times, if you keep showing Allah that you desperately want to change, it's only a matter of time, my brothers and my sisters. إِنْ يَعْلَمِ اللَّهُ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ خَيْرًا يُؤْتِكُمْ خَيْرًا. If Allah sees the goodness in your heart, He'll give it to you. Keep asking Him, my brothers and my sisters. Ibn Taymiyyah mentions a beautiful benefit. He says, whoever sins and then returns back to Allah, seeking His forgiveness, he is like his father Adam, alayhi salatu wasalam. As for the person who sins, but then he persists and he doesn't return back to Allah, he similarizes him to Iblis, who was arrogant and stubborn. We are like our father Adam, alayhi salatu wasalam. Right? None of us are better than him. Right, so we take his path, my brothers and my sisters. Right, it doesn't matter what that sin is, my brothers and my sisters. Keep seeking his forgiveness on a regular basis. Right, constantly asking him. Number four, Al-Quran, Al-Quran, my brothers and my sisters. We want our iman to go upright. Let me tell you guys a story that a couple of years ago when I was in Al-Madinah still studying there, I'm the type of guy, my brothers and my sisters, that doesn't revise for his university studies except the exam period. Don't try this at home. Don't be like me in that regard. I was busy memorizing and doing other stuff, haram studies. Doing my studies in the haram, that's what used to take up a lot of my time. So exam period, I want to get good marks, so I'm stuck inside of my room. Normally, every day I would go to the haram and wallahi, it would do me a lot of good. Right, for my iman, going to the haram every day. But exam period, I was stuck inside of that room trying to revise 3 months worth of lessons. Right. Wallahi, my heart began to feel really hard. I said, today I'm going to go to the haram. I went to my Quran teacher and I said, Sheikh, why do I feel like this? He just said one word to me. He said, when's the last time you read Quran? My head dropped. Right? I put my phone to the side. I sat in the haram. For the next hour, I just started reading Quran. Wallahi, thumma billah. Right? I began to feel an instant change in my heart. And this is exactly what Allah told us. إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ وَإِذَا تُلِيَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُ زَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا. The way of the believer is that when the Quran is recited to them, is that it increases them in faith, in iman. That's when it's being recited to you. How about if you're actually reciting yourself? Right? There's things that we know theoretically, my brothers and my sisters. And there is that which we apply. This is one of them, my brothers and my sisters. You get away from everyone. And when I say everyone, I also mean your phones. Our phones are more than everyone today. Agreed? Our phones are everyone and everything. Alone, you and the speech of Allah. Wallahi, almost instantly you will begin to feel an impact in your heart. How many is that? 4. I hope all of you guys have memorized it and written it down. Unless you're like Imam al-Bukhari or Imam Abu Hanifa or Shafi'i, right, that's able to take everything in, you don't need a pen and paper. And last but not least, my brothers and my sisters, and this is the most important one out of everything that we mentioned. And we only came to know about these 4 things by way of this 5th one. And that is al-ilm. Learning about your religion. These lectures, my brothers and my sisters, that we attend are no different to painkillers, paracetamol. Paracetamol, when you consume it, what does it do? Does it deal with the underlying issues? No, it doesn't. Right? It gives you a boost. It covers up that problem or that ailment that you have. Your iman goes up and it's just going to come crashing down again. That's how I look at lectures. We are in need of regularly studying our religion. We have 2 great fitnas. Fitnatu shubuhat and fitnatu shahawat. What does that mean? The fitna of doubts. Wallahi, we are living in a time and age where the ummah has never seen this kind of doubts that are being thrown around. As someone who went to university, I know what goes on, my brothers and my sisters. These universities that are breeding grounds for kufr and shirk and ism this and schism that and feminism this. And one enters into these universities, or even if he doesn't go to university, right, with social media, the whole world has become like a small little village. www. For those who don't know, it stands for the World Wide Web. The Wild Wild West also, right? Doubts. ظُلُمَاتٌ بَعْضُهَا فَوْقَ بَعْضٍ. One goes to university, he himself, my brothers and my sisters, is not well equipped to deal with the doubts that get thrown his way when he's in philosophy class. Or when he's now engaging, whether it is even with the Muslims or the non-Muslims, he doesn't have the tools now to repel these doubts. And then he begins to contemplate leaving the religion of Allah. If you are a 3rd year or a 4th year med student, and I asked you a question which you didn't have the answer to, would you think about jumping out? No one in their right mind would do that, right? Why would you think about leaving the religion, my brothers and my sisters, right? And you yourself are not educated. Just because you don't have the answers, that doesn't mean there aren't any answers. I'll say that again. Sounds like some of you put on Twitter, right? Just because you don't have the answers, that doesn't mean there aren't any answers. You're not going to have the answers, right? So why would you think about jumping ship? And the most precious thing to us is our religion. And that which is going to help us navigate and maneuver around these doubts, my brothers and my sisters, is none other than beneficial knowledge. This is what is going to keep you safe and sound. Many people think that you only seek knowledge if you want to become the next big mufti, or the next big sheikh, or the next big guy who gives khutbas. No, my brothers and my sisters. That brings me on to the second type of fitna now. Fitna to shahawat. The fitna of temptations. You know my favorite surah? Does anyone know? Surah Yusuf. Right? When she trapped him inside of that bedroom. And then she said, let's get it on. Right? She trapped Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. What saved him, my brothers and my sisters, from this situation was none other than knowledge. You know, my brothers and my sisters, I was going to read out some of the messages that I receive all the time on my fitna ground without, of course, mentioning the names. Sometimes I look at these messages and I think to myself, wallahi, just a little bit of knowledge would have saved them from this situation. The last lecture that I put on my YouTube channel, I started reading out these messages that I received. Just so you guys realize that when we say to you, my sister or my brother, don't do this. This is haram. It's not in your best interest. You begin to think, oh, here comes another movie, right? Who wants to deprive us of happiness, of enjoying ourselves. You know what I say to brothers and sisters today? No problem. Go do as you wish. I just hope you don't join the long list of brothers and sisters who are now complaining about their situation after having fallen into haram, after having fallen into a zina, after having now fallen into addictions, because they thought when the sheikh was telling them this is haram, right, that this is a little bit backward-minded. I have a lecture on my YouTube channel, my brothers and my sisters. It's called Filthy Fathers, Cheating Husbands, and Freemixing. What I did in this lecture was I went to Islam Q&A and I took this lecture that I found over 10 years ago, which I saved on my iCloud. If you don't have iPhone, may Allah help you, right? Years of notes that I put on my iPhone, and then the sweetness that comes with taking out my benefits and my notes from years ago. Anyways, I went back to the article, my brothers and my sisters. What they did was they just collected first-hand experiences of people who fell victim. They let their guard down, right? And the unexpected ended up taking place. What was it? One of the stories that I read out was, I would invite couples over to my house to have innocent chit-chats over tea. While I am cooking, inside of my matbakh, in my kitchen, my husband started cheating on me upstairs with one of the people that I invited. Why am I mentioning all of this? As I was going through all of these statements of these individuals who fell victim, I stopped and I said, my brothers and my sisters, and I'm saying this to the crowd, it's times like this when we really begin to appreciate knowledge. Because wallahi, reading all of these statements, it broke my heart. It made me feel so sad for them because their lives have been ruined. How can I ever look at my husband in the face again? And just a bit of knowledge could have saved them from this situation. Many of the issues that we fall into, a lot of the time, my brothers and my sisters, it is due to a lack of knowledge. And the most important and most precious type of knowledge, my brothers and my sisters, is learning about who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. That is our tawheed, learning the obligations of Allah azza wa jalla upon us. There is a lot of guys here, right, that respect certain individuals online that have the same initials as me, right? They love them, they listen to them. Why do they listen to them? Because of all the things they came to know about them. I know there are sisters who respect and look up to certain individuals and celebrities and personalities, right? Why? Because of all the things that we came to know about them. Am I wrong to say that? We respect people based on what we came to know about them, my brothers and my sisters. Right. Today, when you tell your daughter, wear the hijab, don't do this, or you tell your son, I want you to do this, and then he goes to school, right? And then they're telling him the complete opposite, or his friend is telling him something completely different. What is the difference to him to what Bob is telling him and that which Allah Azza wa Jalla has told him? What's the difference in his eyes? Nothing. He might not necessarily even know who he's worshipping, and that is because he has no knowledge of Allah. My point is, my brothers and my sisters, the more we learn about who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, the more veneration, glorification, and respect we are going to have for Allah Azza wa Jal when we are about to fall into that sin. Right? And that comes with learning about our religion, my brothers and my sisters. More specifically, the Tawheed of Allah Jalla fi'ula.